T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Wes McElroy on Richmond Sports Radio 910 The Fan.
Yo. For cragging us up, whether it be on the radio or the radio.com app. Welcome in on this Thursday, where if you think the weather is sloppy and messy, well, it has nothing on some of the sloppiness in the sports world today. Coming up, the Astros on a day where they attempted to make things better, well, things just got worse. The VCU Rams had a Wednesday game that was a taking care of business moment and may have just put themselves out of business for March Madness. And speaking of business, we'll tell you what NFL head coach is having a yard sale to get rid of all the gear from his time with his previous team. And if you would like to go, I can let you know it's actually in driving distance. We'll get to that. Who's up for a yard sale? No one down for a yard sale. Yard sales are fun. And this one, you get some NFL gear. Looking forward to having the head coach of the DC Defenders, Pep Hamilton, on the show today. Pep scheduled to join us in about 35 minutes from now as the XFL embarks on week number 2 coming up this weekend. We embark on the show by putting out the phone number. It is 833-804-0910, 833-804-0910, and my Twitter handle is at YoWes910TheFan. Well, Which mess would you like to talk about first today? The Astros mess or the mess of the VCU Rams last night at the Siegel Center? Because both got sloppy. Both of you wondered how situations got so messy and so messed up. I'll start with the most recent, since this is the one that's got everybody's blood boiling earlier today. Even the ones who really didn't care that much about the story actually were ticked today. If you missed what was an early morning press conference from Florida, where the Astros are just starting off spring training, owner Jim Crane, new manager Dusty Baker, and players Jose Altuve and Alex Bregman, they addressed the media over the sign-stealing scandal, which they were involved in 2017. If you missed it, if you want to recap, I'll give you a baseball comparison of how it went. And the best baseball comparison would be swing and a miss. It was a big whiff. You had the owner, Jim Crane, speak. New skipper Dusty Baker spoke. New skipper Dusty Baker, formerly of the Nationals. Both spoke. They both answered questions. Alex Bregman and Jose Altuve were the two players that spoke in the press conference, but they didn't take questions. They read from prepared statements. It probably would have been a good idea for the Astros owner to have done the same, because it was a press conference that became a public relations mess. Jim Crane, in a situation where he's trying to help things, he actually made things worse. And this is the money line. Jim Crane was asked what his message would be for some of the teams that the Astros beat, including the Yankees.
Mr. Crane, what do you have to say to the Yankees and teams that you beat in 17?
Listen, the Yankees have had a few comments out there. You know, our opinion is, you know, that this didn't impact the game. We had a good team. We won the World Series, and we'll leave it at that.
Our opinion is this didn't impact the game. Okay. First off, Jim, no, nobody is leaving anything at that with this story. Not today, and especially not after that comment. I love when people who are on the stand or on the hot seat, where they try to store finality into a story, where they try to put it in there. Doesn't work that way. Just because you say that's that, or this is the end, or enough said on that, it doesn't mean we're just going to move along. But that Jim Crane sat there and tried to sell this as it didn't impact the game. It was like squeezing lighter fluid onto an already lit grill. It just flamed things up again today around the Astros. And when I say flame it up, I'm talking big old mushroom cloud. Did this impact the game? Did the Astros electronically stealing signs in 2017 impact the game? Yes, it did. And this isn't the first time he said this. Like, I can understand moments where maybe you stumble, maybe you didn't mean exactly the way. No, he's actually brought this up before in his apology, his original apology to baseball. He did an interview. He has said this before, that he does not believe that this impacted the game. And my response to that has been, if it didn't, why did they keep doing it? It's like steroids. If it wasn't working or helping, why'd you keep doing it? Why? Because it did. Steroids did work. This did impact the game. Knowing what the pitch was, yeah, that had an impact on the game. And I would say to Jim Crane, well, if you fired your GM and your manager, this wasn't a big deal? Like, people mess up at work all the time. We have accidents. We have bad days. We have moments. Do you get fired over it? You get fired if it's a big deal or if it's a reoccurring issue. That this wasn't impacting the game. You just went out and fired your GM and your manager. And at that point of the question, the press conference was not going terribly bad. It wasn't going great for Jim Crane, but it was an already awkward press conference. But then after saying that, it got worse.
Jim, when talking about
he was asked questions if this, you guys all right over there? Somebody's got an itchy trigger finger. Put down decaf, guys. Decaf. He was asked if they were cheating. He wouldn't say the word cheated. He said, well, we broke the rules, and you can take that how you will. No, you cheated. Say it. It's like Sam Kennison, back to school. Say it. Say it cheated. That you had 2 months to prepare for this moment. That there was a meeting held between the owner and the players yesterday of how to handle this. And this was the best that you came up with? And here's an indication of how bad it got. Can you play the clip that we just played, where he was asked about, what do you say to the Yankees and the team you beat?
Mr. Crane, what do you have to say to the Yankees and teams that you beat in 17?
Listen, the Yankees have had a few comments out there. You know, our opinion is, you know, that this didn't impact the game. We had a good team. We won the World Series, and we'll leave it at that.
Okay. Then 4 minutes later, because it wasn't just us at home that were jaw-dropped, that he said this had no impact on the game, I believe this is Jeff Passan of ESPN who circled back around.
Jim, when talking about the Yankees there, did you say you feel like this didn't impact the game? And what do you mean by that?
I didn't say it didn't impact the game.
No, you did. We have it on record. We all heard it. So bad. And by the way, I do believe that was Jeff Passan of ESPN asking the question. I'd like to give credit because at least someone was paying attention because that had to be asked. Like, hold on, wait a minute. You said it didn't impact the game? Oh, I didn't say that. Yeah, you did. I said it yesterday. If you get up there and you own it, if you take it on the chin, yeah, it's going to fan the flames because we all want heads on sticks. Like, we're all a lynch mob now in social media and in the media in 2020. Like, nothing's going to be good enough, but if you take it on the chin, if you say, yeah, we did this, and yes, we knew we were in a gray area, but we knew we were crossing the line, and we knew it got elaborate, and we knew we couldn't stop because we knew it was working, yeah, you're going to fan the flames, but you start to put a roadblock on the story. You start to slow it down. You're not going to stop it. This is going to continue, but you don't give it air to breathe. And that's what Jim Crane did today. And the players, they all said they were sorry, but not exactly specific what they were sorry for. They were asked questions about wearing electronic devices. They said no, they didn't. Not exactly a room full of credible guys right now. But the players knew the heat was coming today. They knew the heat was coming from the media. But that, then you had the owner saying it had no impact on the game. It just, the Astros found a way today to actually make this worse. Here's our poll question, brought to you by Call Federal. Should the Astros be stripped of the 2017 World Series title? Now, it's not an original question. It's probably been asked by, 600 dozen sports talk shows. But I'm going to ask it again today because, funny enough, there's some people who weren't even really bothered by this story that now actually seem angrier about it today. Maybe they were angry when they first found out. Maybe some of you said, it's baseball, sign stealing. Some of you said, it's baseball, it's cheating. Some of you just didn't care. But when you hear the hubris of the Astros owner saying, oh, this didn't have an impact on the game, some people are more mad today than they've ever been about this story. So should the Astros be stripped of the 2017 World Series title? I said when the punishments were handed down, if it would have happened, I would have been fine with it. I know they want it, but I said at least slap an asterisk on it. And I would be okay if they were stripped. Actually, let's do this. I hate to change the poll on the fly, but let me do this. Let me ask it this way. If you were commissioner of baseball, would you have stripped the Astros of their 2017 World Series title? Would you have put the famous baseball asterisk next to it? Or nothing at all? Just, it is what it is. It's part of history. They cheated, but you're not going to strip them. Let's roll with that. If you were the commissioner of baseball, would you strip the Astros of their 2017 World Series, install an asterisk, or nothing at all? We'll put it up at thefanrichmond.com. You can also vote by going to Twitter at YoWest910TheFan. And phone number is 833-804-0910. We'll go down to Florida. Sam Fortier of the Washington Post, he's been down there today. He was actually in the middle of all this. We'll get his thoughts on the day, talking to Astros players, what was said, not with a public transcript or a prepared statement. We'll take you into the clubhouse of the Astros with Sam Fortier of the Post. Also, former major leaguer Billy Ripken's going to join the show today. Billy's got a new book out, but I love Billy's thoughts. Billy is a fantastic analyst on the MLB Network. He does such a good job. I want to get his thoughts on the Astros, the commissioner's idea to expand the postseason, and Billy has written a book on baseball and the changes in the game, which seems pretty applicable with all the changes that Rob Manfred wants to put into play. So we'll talk to Billy. He'll be joining us in the 5 o'clock hour. And all guests appearing on the Hadid Rug Cleaning Hotline. We'll talk some baseball today. About 20 minutes from now, we will talk to D.C. Defenders head coach Pep Hamilton. We'll be on the show. It is week 2 of the XFL starting on Saturday. We will talk some Redskins with Michael Phillips of the Richmond Times-Dispatch. He'll be stopping by in the 4 o'clock hour. And then there's the other messy situation that we got to get to. And that was VCU's no-show, or another no-show, and then a show-up-late job against George Mason. And it bit him last night because the hole was dug too deep. And it bit him, and the bite may have not just left a mark, but it may have left a scar on their NCAA resume. We'll get to that next as we just get things going. That and your calls on the Astros if you want to weigh in on the events of today. And do you find yourself being more mad about this story now than you first were after the Astros actually spoke today? 833-804-0910 on Sports Radio 910 The Fan and 105.1 FM.
You're listening to Wes McElroy on Sports Radio 910 The Fan and now on 105.1 FM. You're listening to Wes McElroy on Sports Radio 910 The Fan and now on 105.1 FM.
Mr. Crane, what do you have to say to the Yankees and teams that you beat in 17?
Listen, the Yankees have had a few comments out there. Our opinion is, that this didn't impact the game. We had a good team. We won the World Series, and we'll leave it at that.
Jim Crane, owner of the Houston Astros, stepping into it today. Stepping into it big time. He's stepping into quicksand, man. He got to the end of that press conference. He was Sherman and squirming and trying to get himself out of there. And it seemed like every time he'd answer another question, he'd just get deeper and deeper. It's that quicksand effect where you're just thrashing around. And the more you try to do stuff to get out, the more you go deeper in. Poll question. If you were the commissioner of baseball, would you strip the Astros of their 2017 World Series title, install an asterisk next to it, or do nothing at all? And I'm purely asking this question after the emotions generated by this press conference today, because I compared it to that scene in Billy Madison. Do we have the audio of that scene in Billy Madison where I reward you no points? We are now being dumber to listen to you. Because that's what it felt like. It felt like that scene, listening to Jim Crane. You're like, is this guy really saying the words out of his mouth, including the words, it didn't impact the game? And the one thing that Jim Crane also did, and this adds to the story not going away, he kept talking about the bad leadership, and he kept making it sound like it was a few bad apples in the clubhouse that were running this organization, that were doing this. That the whole electronic sign stealing was run by a few bad apples. And he kept, really, I mean, I guess you can do it when you fire two people, but he kept throwing Jeff Lunau and the GM and the manager, and we fired them. And he kept making it sound like the players were under bad guidance. But the commissioner's report clearly said this was player-driven. You had players today, Yuri Gurriel, quote, no one put a gun to our head. It would be a lie to say that one or two people are responsible. We're all responsible. Alex Bregman, no one put us up to this. We did. And while that's accountability, it continues to make the commissioner's decision not to punish the players seem even worse. And, I mean, Jim Crane, if Jim Crane says the players are not at fault for the sign-stealing scheme, that's what he was trying to sell today. The players are not at fault. There was a bad guidance, bad leadership. Okay, if they weren't at fault, why did they spend the entire morning apologizing and asking for forgiveness? That's a big disconnect in this story for me. Today was so bad for the Astros that if you didn't want the Astros to vacate the World Series, if you wanted to move on from this story, if you thought, it's baseball, like you were on the fence, it's baseball, sign stealing, it's 2020. Today was so mind-numbing and infuriating. That's why I'm asking. Now do you want them stripped of the World Series? The more they talked today, the more they became disdained. Talk to former Major Leaguer Billy Ripken. He's going to join us coming up a little bit later on the show. You can join us in the poll question. If you were the commissioner of baseball, would you strip the Astros of their World Series title, install an asterisk, or nothing at all? Let us know, 833-804-0910. Pep Hamilton of the D.C. Defenders, the head coach of the new XFL team in Washington, D.C., going to be with us at 2:35. And before that, there's the other mess to get into. And that was VCU last night losing to George Mason. And as Deriante Jenkins said it in the postgame, they just wanted it more. George Mason, who came into the game with two A-10 wins, came in. They clearly played like they wanted it more. VCU last night, like, there's no way to put this. They laid a big fat turd of a performance. No other way to put it. No sugarcoating, no soft sell. They got worked. They got worked by a team, and I pause to say they're a bad team because they beat VCU straight up last night. They got worked by a team at the bottom of their conference. And VCU straight up laid a turd at the Stew last night. I don't want to hear about the refs, VCU fans. No, they were not good, but I don't want to hear about them. That loss, that was on the team. Congrats to Mason. Dave Paulson's a good coach, real good coach with a team that's lost key players, including their best player this year. He had to shuffle things around. He had to change a little bit of philosophy. But he had a good plan to slow up Marcus Santos Silva. They did a good job slowing up VCU's offense, and in a way, they flipped the script at times on VCU. They had difficulty getting over the line, and there was a scheme to have VCU have parts of the shot clock eaten up by the time that they were trying to get settled, and there were a lot of things that Mason did right, and they were scrapping, and they were calling for the boards. They owned the rebounds last night, but VCU had a lot of self-inflicted wounds, and the biggest one was coming into this game in February on the bubble, knowing what's at stake in this month, and to come out with a lack of urgency. Again, that phrase, that word, urgency. And guys, we can get clip number two. Mike Rhodes had the word of the night afterwards, and that was unacceptable.
It's unacceptable. I mean, you're trying to win a championship. You're trying to play in the NCAA tournament, not just play, but win, and you want to play against teams, in-state rival, whatever. How can you not get fired up to play? How can you not play with urgency this time of the year? Everybody knows we have some great games ahead of us, including tonight, and we didn't take advantage of it. And that's disappointing because, you know, you have to paint a discipline to prepare and then play with great urgency. That's not always easy, but that's what you do as an athlete. Then you have the pain of regret. Tonight, we have the pain of regret, and we have to suck on that for a long time.
Hold no punches back, nor should he. For VCU, it's an all-too-familiar pattern. The lack of urgency, get down, kick it in gear, and sometimes they have fired it up and they have survived. But in a way, like Rhode Island, the late run was not enough. The hole was too deep. And VCU, there was panic at times last night on the floor. They did come back, but there were times, man, they were coughing up the ball. Mason played that 1-2-2 that slowed up VCU getting into their offense, and too many times they would come across and they wouldn't take the patience to get into their offense. Man, they just start shucking up shots. Bad three-pointers. And no, there's a difference between missing a three-pointer and taking a bad three-pointer. You had both last night. First shots, bad shots, not getting into the offense, not moving the ball around, just simply not playing like a veteran experienced team. And Mike Rose didn't sugarcoat it post-game. And there, he was asked about, can this be made as a learning moment? No, this is not a learning moment. You want to know the lesson? Like, I wouldn't be asking. You don't walk up to the guys after a loss like that and go, all right, guys, let's talk about what happened out there. Do you know what happened out there? No, that's where you walk in and go, what the bleep happened out there? That's one where you look at the team and go, yo, you guys do know it's mid-February, right? Like, you can put losses on different things. We have grown accustomed to doing this in sports talk radio. Like, we can, hey, that team's just better. That school has better resources. That team has better players. This wasn't it. You can say scheme, you can say coaching. That wasn't it. And I know sometimes it is uncomfortable for some to criticize college players because they're student-athletes and they don't get paid and some are teenagers. I get that, but sorry. That one last night, that was on the team. That was on the players. That was on lack of focus, lack of urgency, not sticking with what works, freelancing, and that they were not locked in. It cost them again. Sean Robertson of CBS 6 is going to join us. He was there last night. And unfortunately, there's not just the loss to discuss, but the status of Marcus Evans, who's been playing beat up, including that sprained MCL. Last night, he caught the knee in multiple collisions, and he left the game with 5 minutes left to play, barely made it over to the bench. We'll see if Sean has an update. I have requested an update from VCU. I don't know, and I doubt we'll hear anything, but VCU-Richmond Saturday was already a big game. It just got bigger. Bigger for Richmond and much bigger for VCU. But we'll get your calls on that. I know a lot of people don't want to talk about that, but it happened. And that's a game that could be a lot of ramifications. And it just made a tough task even tougher for this VCU team. Richmond getting the win last night, and they are healthy. And they have Blake Francis, and he is healthy. We'll talk to Sean Robertson coming up in the 3 o'clock hour. But next, Pep Hamilton, the head coach of the XFL's DC Defenders, scheduled to join us next here on Sports Radio 910 The Fan and 105.1 FM.
You're listening to Wes McElroy on Sports Radio 910 The Fan and now on 105.1 FM. You're listening to Wes McElroy on Sports Radio 910 The Fan and now on 105.1 FM.
4th and 6, going for it. Jones, deep shot, end zone, got him. Rashawn Ross, and that's how you convert on 4th down.
Just getting things started here on a Thursday. Wes McElroy, Sports Radio 910, The Fan, 105.1 FM, and the radio.com app. I will get to some people's reaction on VCU last night. We opened up the show talking about the Astros. We are waiting here momentarily for XFL DC Defenders head coach Pep Hamilton to join us. And by the way, you can listen to the XFL on the radio.com app. You can listen to our guy Grant Paulson, who is now calling. Of course, Grant and Danny in the afternoons, noon to 2. But Grant is now the voice, the radio voice of the DC Defenders. And you can check it out by going to the radio.com app and listen to all the XFL action there. Yeah, I'm interested to see here week 2. I'm interested, and there's a lot of stuff going on this sports weekend. We've got the Daytona 500. If you missed our interview with Kurt Busch yesterday, that's up and available at thefanrichmond.com. We've got VCU and Richmond. We'll dive deeper into that, considering all the events of last night. But the XFL, I'm looking forward to Coach joining us. Obviously, I want to hear his interest in the XFL, why he decided to pursue a job. Did he have any hesitation about being in the XFL, considering what we all saw? You know, Pep Hamilton and I are about the same age. We all saw version one. Like, when that phone call comes and somebody or your agent says, hey, interested in the XFL? Really? They're doing that again? But really, I think to some people's surprise, the XFL last week, I think people were surprised it was actually football. Like, it was about football. It wasn't anything like the first version. It was about football, and they were some fantastic team names. There were some great uniforms. There were some bad ones. That one in Tampa, that's a little bit too much for me. But there were some unique rules in the kickoff and the extra points. There was nothing really ludicrous or outlandish there. And there was no Vince McMahon, which I think was a really smart marketing move to not draw those comparisons of the past. There was no Vince McMahon screaming into a microphone. It was really just about football. And I thought the football was competent. It wasn't a bad product by any means. It was watchable. So we'll talk to Coach about this because, and I'm very interested. These teams have had limited time together, limited training camps. And for the quality of the games to be that good, like knowing that, it was, wow, this is actually going to get better. And one of the best teams on the field, like overall, was DC. So I wanted to have Coach on. I hope he's going to join us here moments from now. How has been working with Cardale Jones? Is there anything that surprised him along the way? And was he surprised in a way how this did come together and look so good week one? And as far as, and Pep Hamilton's in charge on the field. He's not only the head coach, but he's also the GM. But this weekend, this is something out of the coach's control. How are the ratings this week? How are the ratings? What are the ratings? We've been down this road before. And I noted Monday, I said everything that you hear me say about the XFL, we pretty much said about the Alliance of American Football. The XFL version 1.0 had very good ratings, and then it slid, and it slid fast. The Alliance of American Football and this XFL, they had very similar ratings at a week one. I believe the XFL had better ratings, but I think the Alliance of American Football had better week one attendance. But how's Act Two? Because this is Act Two. It's week two, but it's also Act Two. So what do you got? And we come in Monday, and I doubt it's going to do the ratings that it did. I'm not expecting it to do better. And maybe it could. Maybe I'll be totally surprised. Maybe some of you said, man, I feel like I missed out on something here. Got to a point on Monday where you're like, I got to check this out at least one game next weekend. I'm guessing it's going to be less in terms of the ratings, but if it holds serve, okay, let's see here. Can you get through the first year? That's the big question. Can they get through the first year? Because as I noted last weekend, there's a difference between getting me interested and getting me invested. So we'll hopefully run in here and talk to Coach Hamilton as he gets out of a meeting in mere moments. We'll talk to the head coach of the DC Defenders. But to circle back, open up the show, and you can join in the poll questions posted about the Astros. Now that the Astros have infuriated even more people today by their owners saying, no, it had no impact. No impact on baseball whatsoever. We asked the question today, should the World Series, if you're the commissioner of baseball, would you take away the 2017 World Series from the Astros? Would you put an asterisk next to it, or would you change nothing? And I'm asking that today because in a moment where baseball, more so the Astros, had a moment to get better, to be better, to maybe slow this story down, they fired it up even more. And Sam Fortier is going to join us from the Washington Post. He was down there. He attended the press conference today. He was in the clubhouse. He was talking to the players. And it didn't go well for the Astros. It didn't go well from top to bottom. Players? Okay. The players were better away from the press conference. And I really do wonder about this sometimes. There's a lot of smart people in public relations. There's a lot of smart people who've made a lot of money. And they've done it, and they've done it for a reason, and they're a lot smarter than I. But when it comes to public relations, people, especially people with power and money, just bungle things. And today was just so bungled by the Astros. And I hesitate. There's part of me that pauses to kill a public relations guy or a public relations staff because sometimes they're at the mercy. Sometimes they come in and they got a 46-point presentation of, all right, sir, here's what we'd like you to say, and here's how we think we should handle it, and this might be in the best interest. And then that billion-dollar owner goes, don't worry about it, kid. I got this. I'll take care of it. Sir, we prefer that you not take questions. Nope, it's good. You know what? I'll take a couple. You know, I know a couple of these guys in the media. They'll take care of me. We'll be fine. And it was an absolute disaster today for the Astros. And what could have just been a very sleepy morning press conference on a Thursday down in Florida at spring training just stirred it all up. And one part that I keep coming back to and why this continues to have legs and it continues to go on is because the players did not get punished. And it doesn't feel satisfying. It doesn't feel satisfied to the sports public. It doesn't feel satisfying to the baseball public. It doesn't feel satisfying to other players. Other players are looking around going, seriously? Like, really? I know we're supposed to be on one side of this against the owners and one side of this against the commissioner, but really? Y'all cheated. And not only did you cheat, you all cheated and won a World Series. And this is becoming a little bit different than other topics. And one thing I want to talk to Sam, because if you don't know, the Astros and the Nationals, they do share real estate there at spring training. Their training facilities are right next to each other. You're actually seeing a lot of Major League Baseball players bark at this. They're not going quietly. They're not just sitting there and kind of twiddling their thumbs and looking here, looking there. It's not like the steroid thing where you go, I don't know exactly who's on my team doing it, or I got something to hide. No, players are ripping. And you got a lot of players today because what you want to do in the subject is, even if you're in Arizona, you want to localize it. Hey, you for the Toronto Blue Jays, did you guys watch the Astros press conference? Yeah. Are you satisfied? And a lot of guys are saying no. A lot of players are coming out and saying, no, we're not satisfied at all. Like, so you have a lot of players that are angered by this. So you have fans, baseball fans, sports fans, the general sports public, and even baseball players going, how in the hell do the players not get punished? And that you have the owner of this team trying to say, well, look, they were just following leadership and they were guided the wrong way, and that the commissioner's report said it was a players-driven deal and the players didn't get anything? It doesn't add up. And when it doesn't add up, people keep coming at it. And that's what you're seeing today. All right, let's do this. Let's take a break, see if we can get Pat Hamilton on the other side. Hopefully the head coach of the XFL DC Defenders will join us next on Sports Radio 910 The Fan and 105.1 FM.
You're listening to Wes McElroy on Sports Radio 910 The Fan and now on 105.1 FM. Off and running. Afternoons with Wes McElroy on Sports Radio 910 The Fan and now on 105.1 FM.
It is a very busy Thursday. So, what do you need to know? We'll get the big three at three. Big three storylines at 3 o'clock, and we'll dive back into VCU and Richmond. Sean Robertson of CBS6 going to join us at 3:20. But joining us right now, he's the head coach and general manager of the DC Defenders of the XFL, Pep Hamilton, as Defenders getting ready for game two this weekend. They host the New York Guardians, and coach joining us now on the Hadid Rug Cleaning Hotline. Coach, thanks for joining us here in Richmond.
Thanks for having me. We're excited to get back out on the field this weekend against the New York Guardians Saturday at 2 p.m. We would love for some folks to come up from Richmond, Virginia to enjoy Audi Field with the Defenders.
Well, people came out last week, and Coach, talk about first impressions. One of the first things, as everything's just settling in, I thought it was a great debut, not only because of what you saw on the field, but it almost felt like an instant vibe between team and town, and it almost felt like there was an instant connection between you and the fans that were there at Audi Field.
Yeah, it was great to feel the energy that we had at the stadium last Saturday. And I think it all started with a fan event, meet-and-greet event we had a couple weeks prior, and our players were super excited to see how many folks showed up for that event. So we want to keep it going. We're going to try and do our part and just work our tails off to make sure that we're ready on game day to go out and win for our fans.
As far as on the field, as a coach, you plan, you prep, but compared to the amount of time that, you know, in college years in the NFL and your preseason, your offseason, compared to that, with this, with the XFL, did you have an idea of what to expect last week, or in a way, was it a pleasant surprise?
No, not at all. I think that was the biggest challenge going into the game. It's just there were so many unknowns with regards to how some of our guys would respond to the actual game environment. But I think the toughest task for us was trying to prepare for a ghost opponent. And what I mean when I say that is we didn't have a lot of evidence of how their defense and or their offense would come out and play against our team. And it was easier to find film on Jim Zorn and the things that he had done in the past, considering he was the former coach of the Redskins. And it's the same for Kevin Gilbride. You know, it's easy for us to find film on the offensive head coaches that's been around for quite some time. But it's a tougher task to find just evidence of how their defenses are going to play. And so early in the game, it was more of a filling out process. But it was good to see our guys get calibrated and see our coaches make the adjustments that gave us a chance to go out and really do a better job in the second half of scoring points.
What impressed you the most, Coach?
I think the one thing that impressed me was our defense and the way they took the ball away and the fact that we didn't turn the ball over on offense. Not to say that we don't have a lot to work on, because we do. We didn't run the ball as well as I would have liked, and we got to be able to run the football to finish people off at winning time. But taking the ball away and not turning the ball over typically leads to a W in the win column.
He is Coach Pep Hamilton of the D.C. Defenders joining us here on the Fan, Sports Radio 910 and 105.1 FM here in Richmond. You coached in college. You coach in the NFL. We're about the same age, and we remember the first version of the XFL. What was appealing to you about the XFL, and did you have any hesitations when you first heard about the opening because you knew of the first version of the XFL?
Well, I think for me, it started with my prior relationship with our commissioner, Oliver Luck. I've known Oliver for quite some time. I coached his son at Stanford, and I also coached his son, Andrew, at the Colts. And so just knowing Oliver's reputation and all the respect and credibility that Oliver has with me and my family, when he approached me about the opportunity, I knew he wouldn't be a part of something that wasn't plausible. So that's where it all started for me. And then, just to have an opportunity to really be a part of I guess you would call it a startup, you know. The second iteration of the XFL is a lot different than the first. I do remember he hate me and all the shenanigans that were going on in the first version of the XFL. Well, it's different now. You know, I think when you look at the coaches across the league, you have guys that, you know, that are really established coaches that bring a certain credibility to the coaching side of the XFL as well. So for me, it was just a great opportunity to be a general manager and of course, coach ball, which is something I enjoy doing. And I'm like a sport fisherman at this point. I just want to win. I just want to win and get the big fish in the boat.
You got a quarterback, Cardell Jones. And that was one of the first eye-catching things. If you flipped on last week, you're like, wait a minute, I remember that guy from Ohio State. Had you known Cardell before he joined you in D.C.?
Well, I knew him as a – well, I was a fan of what he accomplished when he was in college. And his storyline was unique with regards to the guy never really being the starter. And when he was given an opportunity, not only did he win, he won big. And the talent is undeniable. You know, 6'5", 250 pounds, cannon of an arm, nicknamed 12 gauge for a reason. And he's tough to bring down. And so to have an opportunity to acquire Cardell early on in the process was a home run for our franchise. And so I really enjoyed just getting to know him in time and trying to help him to realize his full potential as a player, because he's in our league because he needs film. And I think, you know, if he continues to prepare and play the way that we saw week one, you know, ultimately he'll win the XFL and we'll see what happens after that for Cardell.
Well, and you know this better than anybody because you work with quarterbacks, and that was your forte, and you mentioned Andrew Luck, but And I get it. This is opportunities for so many different players, and there's different positions out there. But you know there's only one quarterback on the field, and there's only one quarterback taking snaps. And there's not exactly a lot of reps out there, period. There's not a lot of reps in the NFL. There's not a lot of reps in college. And this is an opportunity for a guy who Cardell was in a camp. He was with a team. And I guess it applies to everybody. But you and I both know it's different when it comes to the quarterback.
Yeah, not only is it different for the quarterback, though, I do agree with you about the quarterback. It's just for some young players, you go to an NFL camp and you break a big, you know, you have an untimely injury of sorts, and you end up in a situation to where you never truly got a shot, okay? And by the time you get another opportunity to follow in all season by signing an NFL futures contract, are you way at the back of the line? Though there's nothing more valuable than the film that you're able to accrue once you get out of college. You know, just showing that, hey, I'm still playing football. All the things that you said I couldn't do. Maybe I was I came out of school early, or maybe I had an injury later on in my college career. Well, I'm here now, and I'm making plays, and I'm showing everybody that I can do exactly what I know I can do, and that's play football at a high level.
D.C. Defenders taking on the New York Guardians this weekend. You can check it out and get up to Audi Field. It's one of their home games this year, part of their now four games remaining at home. Coach Hamilton, I'll let you run on this one since you're a football guy. Which one did you find more appealing, the new kickoff rule or the extra points?
Well, I'm going to tell you what, the extra points are tough. You know,
that's some strategy right there.
Hey, it is tough. It's tough, but it's exciting nevertheless. I think, you know, it's fun to have an opportunity to always get back in the game. So, you know, that's exciting. That's exciting for our league. More importantly, that's exciting for the fans. All right, from a player safety standpoint, the new kickoff rule, without a doubt, is revolutionary. And it's still exciting. Everyone enjoys. I was at the Bears with Devin Hester. And, you know, any time, you know, we had the punt return team on the field or kickoff return team on the field, I wasn't going back to look at my call sheet or pictures from the previous drive. I was standing on the sideline waiting to see if Devin would return one for a touchdown. So I know how exciting that part of the game is, you know. I'll finish with this, guys. Saturday afternoon, 2 p.m., Audi Field. It is it's like reality football, all right? You're close to the field. The place is electric. We got the 12-pack. That's what we call our fans that sit down in the east end of the stadium in the Heineken Zone. It's exciting, and it's fan-friendly, and it's economical. So come out and support us.
Go to XFL.com, click on the DC Defenders, and they got all of the ticket information. Coach Hamilton, let's do it again soon. Congratulations on week one, and we look forward to week two.
Thank you, guys.
You got it. That's Pep Hamilton, the head coach of the DC Defenders. Once again, it's XFL.com. Click on the DC Defenders, and ticket information is available for Saturday at 2 o'clock. We'll come back. 2 o'clock hour done in the books here. Big 3 at 3 coming up next because, well, we're going into the 3 o'clock hour on Sports Radio 910 The Fan and 105.1 FM.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.